Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Alrighty, hour number two. We are coming to you from the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Home's more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage. All right, so we'll put aside the baseball stuff for a little bit. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM, Channel 206. Week six begins in earnest tonight. Going to be a mud fest. Weather's not looking overly promising. Probably going to be a route. Maybe you lay the 17. Maybe you do it now before it keeps jumping up, as it has been.
Saquon's not playing.
Wayne
Gallman's
backup,
not
right?
playing. Evan Ingram's not playing.
Would you tell me, what's the percentage of Giants offense that's not playing tonight?
65%. Almost 65% of their offense is sitting on the bench today.
I got to tell you, sometimes you look at the numbers and you can really become paralyzed by staring at numbers too much and thinking that they'll always make sense. How do you not take the under tonight? Like, how is this not 30-7?
Well, you said
30-6, 33-6.
You said it yesterday or maybe 2 days ago when we were talking about this, BT. The Pats don't have to score 50 to win.
No. I think they could go very benign.
Yep.
Don't go too deep in the playbook. Don't put it on film and just really coast. Although I'm not sure if that's how Belichick thinks, but let's find out. We got a lot to hit. Weekly segment. He hooks us up every single Thursday, despite being incredibly busy. You know we appreciate him. CBS Sports NFL Insider. The NFL Today, top CBSSports.com. Jason Lockenfor. What up, Jay? How are you today?
What's going on, gentlemen?
We are good, man. I mean, you've been reporting stuff for a long time now that's beginning to really come to fruition. We'll get to the possibility of big trades. Let's start with the Jay Gruden situation. You've written a few times, it's been out there, that looks like they're going to make a pretty good run at Mike Tomlin. Mm-hmm. Take us through the circumstances, how likely that is that it might occur. What do you think? How do you think it actually shakes down?
Yeah, I don't think it's out of the question at all. Coaches are traded in this league. John Gruden was traded. Don Shula was traded. We almost had a situation a few years ago where Jim Harbaugh was traded from the 49ers to the Browns. There were certainly conversations about it. Mike Tomlin only signed a one-year extension, which was struck some people as odd. The general manager there, Kevin Colbert, has declined an opportunity to sign an extension to this point. Ben Roethlisberger, he's going to be back next year, but a year older, and is there transition in the air? And where will Mike Tomlin be in January? I don't know the answer to those questions, but I do know that Dan Snyder will give him unlimited funds, resources, and power to take over that organization if he desires it, and he'd be willing to give the Steelers draft pick compensation to try to make that happen. And all of a sudden, after trading up for Devin Bush and after trading a one for Minka Fitzpatrick and maybe being in transition themselves, maybe that makes sense. It's not a typical Rooney move, but even the Steelers do eventually make changes. So it's something I'll be monitoring very closely.
Yeah, no, but let me back up real quick, and before we move on from the Steelers and the Redskins, why would Kevin Colbert, their general manager, decline an opportunity to get a contract extension? Does he want a different opportunity?
Well, I think he's at a stage. You know, I talked to him about it when I was in Latrobe at training camp, and he's at a stage where he doesn't want to make a commitment he can't fulfill. And he's going year to year with his family in terms of, do I want to do this? Am I ready to retire or do something else entirely? And what he's told people in that building is, he feels like he's tied to Ben Roethlisberger, and he'll probably be there as long as Ben is. But it's not like he signed a multi-year extension either. So if there was going to be a natural point for the Steelers to move on from what has been a very successful Tomlin, Roethlisberger, Colbert, trio, the cards may align that way come January.
Yeah, interesting. Who do you think the front runner is in Washington? Could it be Bill Callahan, or will they go young? Because I think ultimately they got to find someone to make Dwayne Haskins right, correct?
Yeah, they really like Kevin O'Connell, who's on their staff now as the offensive coordinator. And it's really going to be his offense now, and him working, developing Haskins. They've let a lot of good young quarterback guys get out of that building over the years. And I could see them wanting to keep Kevin O'Connell in terms of whatever staff they put together, whether it's from Mike Tomlin or somebody else. Dan Snyder is a very big proponent of Todd Bowles. Todd Bowles played in that organization. Joe Gibbs has been telling Dan Snyder for years, you know, about what a good coach he thinks Todd Bowles is. And Dan Snyder interviewed Todd Bowles back in the winter after the season about possibly becoming their defensive coordinator. Not Jay Gruden interviewing Todd Bowles, Dan Snyder. And there's some people I talked to at the time who said if Todd wanted that job in January, the head job, it could have been his. You know, so that's someone else I would certainly keep an eye on. In terms of internal candidates, I don't see Bill Callahan being the next guy, but I do, you know that they like him as an O-line coach, and I think they'll try to keep Kevin O'Connell in that building.
All right, we're talking to Jason Lockin for CBS Sports NFL Insider. And, Jay, we see this more and more, the in-season dumping. Once that happens, now the flame really gets cranked up. It's like the green light to start weighing in on which coach is next. And it's not fun, but it's a part of the NFL. Black Monday always yields seven or eight names. It is what it is. Who's next? I mean, who's really on borrowed time? It's got to be Dan Quinn at this point. They're a disaster.
Yeah. That's not a move that owner wants to make in season because he's invested a lot of money on the team and all the coaches. We have four former coaches on that coaching staff. It's not a key coaching staff. He doesn't want to blow it up. He believed in the vision that Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff, the GM, put forward. It's just not happening. It's great in theory. It's not happening in practice. If they lay an egg in Arizona, if they find a way to lose that game, then I suspect that's the end. Otherwise, look at their schedule from week 7 to week 14. It's becoming an inevitability that Dan Quinn won't be their head coach in 2020. I don't know that the change happens in October. I certainly think it happens by December. The question is, does he blow up the whole organization? Is there a new GM as well? That's a difficult spot, guys. They've got half of their cap next year tied up in five players. Half of their cap in five players who aren't going anywhere, and not everybody likes those players as much as they do.
Is there anyone else? Could Doug Marrone be someone else that we need to look at come Black Monday or even before?
I don't know about before. Gardner Minshew's progress and Leonard Fournette now getting going on the ground are working well in his favor. No one's going to run away with that division, it doesn't look like. And the quote-unquote best team, a lot of people would tell you, is Houston. I mean, they lost to Houston because they tried a two-point conversion, but they beat the snot out of Houston for most of that game. So they think they'll be in it for a while. I don't know that anything happens there in season. You know, obviously Jason Garrett, high expectations there. He doesn't have a contract beyond this year. You know, there could be change in the air there. Carolina's playing great right now, and I think they'll continue to play well. But the owner's going to have to decide, with 1 year left on Ron Rivera's deal, do I want to re-up with this guy for another $40, $45 million? You know what I mean? Or are we going to just maybe go in a different direction? A lot of these guys, first-year coaches, I mean, I think there'll be multiple one-and-dones as well, given the depth that some of these teams appear to be in.
So, well, such as, start dropping names. Is Gase going to be one-and-done?
Look at you. I don't know who, but I'm just saying the odds are not in a lot of people's favor if they don't step it up a little bit here.
Yeah, speaking of Gase and the Jets, Sam Darnold should be playing this weekend. All indications he's good to go. He's going to be fine.
Yeah, absolutely. Although the spleen is at normal size, all the medical tests came back normal. I think, you know, getting that extra week from a conditioning standpoint and just body maintenance standpoint, it can't hurt. I mean, it's not like this guy just had a cold. I mean, it was a pretty big blow to his immune system. You know, he's got they've rigged up some equipment for him that should help secure the area around the spleen just in case. He's ready to play. I mean, it's crazy. He hasn't done much in this system yet, you know?
No.
I mean, a new coach, we haven't seen a ton of Darnold in the preseason. We obviously haven't seen much of him at all in the regular season. So it's a difficult situation. He's their franchise guy. So let's see if he can, you know, lift up that offense a little bit.
I can't wait to see him start playing. The Jets season begins now, even though it's already over. We're talking to Jason Lockin for CBS Sports NFL Insider. All right, the possibility of in-season trades. You have been on this for a long time. There's some big names out there. Jalen Ramsey's an obvious one. You floated Von Miller as a possibility. Where are we at? Any new names entering the hopper, and how likely is this stuff to happen?
I do think we'll see some moves. There's just the haves and the have-nots now. It's pretty obvious. It's like baseball. We have all these teams winning 100 games and all these teams losing 100 games. You know, there's 6 to 8 teams that have a real shot at it, and there's 8 teams, basically, who are already out of it. Some of those management teams are a little closer to accepting the reality of their situation than others. But, yeah, I mean, Denver won last week. If they string a few more together, maybe they push it to the end. But Chris Harris is not coming back there. I mean, they've got 3 unrestricted free agents who won't be back. I think John Elway makes a couple of trades regardless just to try to secure the future, because let's be real about where they're going this year.
By the way, Jay,
Patrick Peterson comes back from his suspension.
Yep.
Where are they really going? You know, what could they get for him? Because it's clear they need more around Kyler.
Yeah.
And they don't have the draft capital of some of these other teams. Washington with Trent Williams. I mean, if they don't trade him by the deadline, there'll be an outright Sam mutiny in Washington. There is no counter argument to not trading him, because it's clear he's not going to play for them. And at 32 or whatever he is, he's going to be long gone before they're any good again. And if they trade him, do they trade Ryan Kerrigan as well? That's another name that contending teams are interested in.
Okay. That's interesting.
By the way, when you said Elway, I thought you were going to say that he was going to trade for a GM. Jason?
Yeah, no. They're not trading for GM. Sorry.
Bro, I'm proud here, man. This is my partner's. Thank you, T. I appreciate the laugh. That wasn't a mercy laugh either.
It was humorous. I found it funny. It tickled me. AJ Green has said he's preparing for anything.
Yeah.
Should we expect him to be going somewhere? I mean, I know he's hurt, so it's hard to trade him. But what's going to happen with him?
Mike Brown's going to have a decision to make. This is not a team that generally entertains the trade market. They're pretty decidedly old school. But he's an unrestricted free agent. He's not going to re-sign there. He's not getting any younger. They're not getting any better. And he's coveted. And if they give teams an opportunity to secure an extension with him as part of the trade talks, I've had multiple GMs tell me they have complete confidence they could get a first-round pick for him. That would seem to make all the sense in the world for them, you know, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to happen. I mean, they've got the roster that all the contending teams are lusting over, because they've got 7 or 8 legitimate trade candidates who have tradable contracts. There's no cap ramifications. They're all over the age of 30 for the most part. They're not going to be there when the Bengals turn it around, and teams are dying to get their hands on them. They can have as much draft capital as Miami by the time the draft comes around if they do the right thing there. I'm not sure that that's in their makeup, and neither are other teams.
Jay, you know what I wanted to ask you here, and it's still only a little more than a month into the ongoing evaluation of these two young quarterbacks here, but Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota. Winston seems to be getting better. Mariota, not really. Any further clarity from either organization? How do you think this plays out based on where they are right now?
No, there's no conversations going on in terms of extensions, and I'm not sure that there will be. I think that these are, you know, we call them young quarterbacks, but these guys are closer to 30 than 20 now.
Yep.
And, you know, they've got a body of work here, and I think they kind of are who they are. And, you know, Jameis certainly has weeks where under Bruce, you know, the tutelage of Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich, he looks like he's turning the corner, and, you know, the consistency still isn't there, though. And I'm not sure it will be. I mean, Bruce Arians will have a lot to say about that situation, because that's his specialty. At the end of the year, they'll be able to size up what else is available and what they think of Jameis and make a decision. But I imagine they get all 16 games, you know, of a sample size of him with BA before they make that decision. Mariota, I kind of feel like that ship has sailed.
Yep.
You know, the owner really likes him, but she wasn't willing to re-up with him, and his play is not going to elevate, I don't believe, to this point, to make that decision for them, to make them do that. Maybe he comes back, you know, on the cheap, because there's not a whole lot out there, but them bringing Tannehill in the building was a pretty good indication that they're hedging their bets. Mm.
Jason, great stuff. I mean, that is a lot of information. You have to follow Jason on social media. You have to follow him on CBSSports.com, CBS Sports NFL Insider, NFL Today. I'll see you Sunday morning as always. Good job, Jason. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
You got it, buddy. There he is. I mean, that's a lot to tackle.
A lot of trade, especially with the Redskins. I didn't even think about Ryan Kerrigan.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got these guys that are a little bit older. Trent Williams is much older, but a little bit older. You're not contending for a couple of years. Get some assets for them.
Yeah.
Rebuild.
I wanted to get into that a little bit more coming up here. This new philosophy, this new direction, player movement. Is it mm-hmm. good for the game? Are we down with it? Is it a little bit of everything? We'll get to that. Plus, can the Giants even move the football tonight? Mm-hmm. What are we choosing? Like, what are we latching onto tonight with the Pats and the Giants? We got to come up with something besides the points.
Raise Astros.
There you go. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way to save money. Just switch to Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Let's get into a couple things that Jason hit, specifically the whole concept of player movement. You know, in general, I find it to be really interesting. In every sport.
Yep, me too.
Player movement, the discussions about where players might go, the discussions about which players should be retained, which players should not be retained. That's a fun conversation. I don't know that it's as fun as it is for me with football as it is for the other sports. I don't know if I like this new trend.
And the problem in football is that sometimes a trade happens and you don't feel it, or it doesn't make impactful sense. In baseball, it makes impactful sense. You need an extra arm, you need a reliever, whatever, go get them.
Yep, right? Put them right in the three spot or put them right in the second spot in rotation.
It happens tomorrow.
Yep.
In fact, it could happen the same day for some of these guys who get traded right before games and they hop on a plane and go play and they're in uniform somewhere else before the day is over. Football is different because there's so much nuance. And while it sounds great, this is the guy we need. Yeah, we need let's say Sammy Watkins. He's hurt, so that's a bad example. But, let's say Sterling Shepard, would get fit needed in Tampa Bay. We could sit him down at Tampa Bay. He'd be able to play right away. Probably wouldn't. And you have no idea if he fits the scheme.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not interchangeable parts like other sports have interchangeable parts. So trades sound great. Right, it's like we're gonna get some assets, and we're gonna get rid of a player that's maybe aging or we don't need anymore, and it's gonna and for the receiving team, you think it's a great fit, but oftentimes it's not.
Yeah, and I think the other thing too is all right, so the Knicks decided to trade Porzingis. Now imagine if Porzingis was healthy
mm-hmm.
and they still traded him, which they might not have, but he wanted out. He didn't really like the culture, so he was already starting to do a power play and exercise his right to go somewhere else. So, if the Knicks would have acquiesced to his demands and he was healthy, at least there's still a few other young players that you can isolate on and watch and really monitor their individual development. It's hard to do that in football. You just start to see 9 or 10 no-names.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
It's like it's all just very sterile and it's all thrown into one boring blender, which does nothing for the fan.
No, I think you're right. And I've always said this. I think it pertains to all sports, but mostly to football. Like, nobody loves you like your mom. I haven't said that in a while.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Like, the team that drafts you. And that's mostly from an executive standpoint, like the general manager or the scouts or whoever it may be inside the organization. They spend a lot of time, evaluating you or the player. And so when they decide to draft you,
mm-hmm.
it was because they really, really liked you.
Yeah.
And so when you ultimately end up somewhere else, either in free agency or via trade, that organization, that scouting department, and even the fans, they don't necessarily love you. You know what I mean? So they have to grow to love you. You have to prove it. And sometimes careers get ruined because you just can't prove it. You're still good.
Yeah.
Right? And it just doesn't work out. Tyrann Mathieu is the perfect example. Right. He was in Arizona and then he got he got released and traded or whatever. He ended up somewhere else for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like Houston. Yeah, he was in Houston for a year. And I remember we talked to one of their DBs last year. We're like, yeah, he's great. He's going to be awesome here. He was out the next year.
I know.
Right. It was a 1 year rental. And so it often sounds great in football. it usually isn't great in football. Whereas in baseball, it's usually, it fits. It fits the mold.
Well, think about this, because like baseball, it's almost
individualist. It's an it's an individual sport.
That's for sure. But even if you think about just like name recognition, at this point, if you trade guys, and I don't mean the Uber fan who's dialed into the, you know, the third best prospect who right now is at high A ball. I mean, that's the 1% of the fan base. I'm not speaking to you. I mean, the average fan, you know, flips on to watch a relatively bad team. The Padres. Well, Padres is a little different with Machado, but the Reds tried to make a few moves before they came into the season, tried to spruce things up. It didn't work. They broke up the band, which made sense. But whether it's, you know, 22-year-old no-names who are trying to prove themselves or retread veterans, I feel like you could still get more out of a baseball game than, because again, you could still pick on one or two guys.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, this has been, and I don't think I'm alone in saying that, like, well, I was going to say I am, maybe specific to, I don't know that I've ever been less interested until Sam Darnold comes back of a Jets season. It has been, and I think that's like specific to me.
Yeah.
But that's through circumstance, because Darnold had mono,
yep.
Mosley's hurt, Quinton Williams got hurt, all these things that happened. Imagine being a fan of a team, like imagine if Gardner Minshew was playing now and he was terrible. And, you know, you still know that Nick Foles isn't coming back to week 11. What are you watching? Like, what are you rooting for?
Yeah, you're not excited.
What are you gravitating to?
Yeah, you're not excited about anything. And
no.
And it's interesting because a lot of teams are finding themselves in that position early in seasons, right? Last year with the Cardinals. I mean, the Cardinals are interesting this year because it's Kyler Murray.
Mm-hmm.
And for no other reason other than drafting the Heisman Trophy winner, number one overall pick, who maybe can change, you know, football in a sense, the way he plays the game, people are interested. But last year, you weren't interested. Sam Darnold gave way to Josh Rosen.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't get out of their own way. It wasn't watchable football.
No. Who'd you say, Sam Darnold?
I mean, not Sam Darnold. Sam Bradford gives way to Josh Rosen. I mean, it wasn't watchable football.
That was brutal.
And so the same thing's happening in Washington right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're going back to Case Keenum as their starter.
I know.
I mean, so it's like,
McCoy, Keenum, Haskins got a look. That would have messed.
It's not watchable. It gets really hard. And so now you're going to strip them down even farther?
Well, you know what it is? I mean, people.
Which is probably necessary, but.
That's where the conflict comes in.
It's right.
It is necessary, but it's a tough dance to sell to a fan base or fan bases.
That's right.
That have been downtrodden for a long time. Like, I think, you know, I thought the Giants did a couple of the smart things somewhat. Like, at least the Giants have equity with their fans, even though
there's no doubt.
It's coming back now for sure, because
right.
People know that Daniel Jones can play. But before Giant fans knew that Daniel Jones was the right pick, it was a lot of, get him in this, he's not that, what are they doing, Shermer's not the right. I wasn't even sure if Shermer's the right guy, and I'm still not sure if he's the right guy. But the Giants looked in the mirror, and they offered a very honest assessment, much like Clayton Kershaw last night. He was brutally honest, and what Gettleman said was, you know what? We're miles from winning. Get rid of Landon Collins. Make some trades here.
Right.
Snacks, Harry. I'm going to start trading people. And it's a smart business move, but I don't think it fits every fan base.
Yeah.
I really don't.
It sets the expectation. And so, at the very least, the fans know what they're happy for. But the Giants did something actually really smart.
Mm.
And a lot of people didn't like it because they were looking for the quarterback. They wanted the, you know, Sam Darnold or Josh Rosen, or they wanted a quarterback 2 years ago. But by taking Saquon Barkley, who was exciting as hell, and so even though they sucked, you turned it on just to see what the hell he was going to do.
Yeah.
It was awesome, right? So they drafted a player who was so exciting that you kind of cared a little bit less. You still cared, but you cared a little bit less about them being bad because it felt like at least you have something to build around.
That's fair.
And not a lot of teams, like the Redskins haven't done that.
No, the Redskins are boring. The Giants weren't good, but they weren't boring
because
Saquon got the rock, he can make five people miss and hit it 80 yards to the house.
That's right.
It's like the high-octane NBA scorer. This was a little more prevalent back in the day, really in the 80s, where, you know, a team that was 25, 28, 31 wins, going nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
But they had a guy that can fill it up and average 25, 26, and 9. He might shoot 41%, but he's going to jack up all sorts of shots. And, hey, you know what? My team stinks, but I've got an all-star here, and I could at least I could lock in on him. Yeah, the Giants were able to escape a lot of the maybe the athletic, the sporting vitriol.
Yeah.
And by the way, they may have stumbled onto getting this right. I mean, I still think Sam Darnold's going to be really good, but I know Daniel Jones is pretty good.
Yeah, no,
he can play.
So far, so good. I just feel really bad for him tonight. Really bad for him tonight.
Let me ask you this:
Golden Tate's got to carry the load, and Golden Tate hadn't taken a snap.
Yeah.
In a month and a half.
Do you just try to make sure this is such a defeatist attitude? But with a young kid, do you just try to get out of there without him getting hurt?
Think about what we're talking about.
And broken.
This is a regular season football game.
I know.
And because it's on a Thursday, Evan Ingram can't play. Wayne Gallman's still in concussion protocol because he got knocked out on Sunday. So it's only 4 days. So he's still in concussion protocol. Saquon probably shouldn't play anyways, but whatever. He's not playing. And we're talking about the Giants.
Did you say Ingram?
I did say Ingram because it's a Thursday. You know, he's maybe by Sunday he'd feel okay. Mm-hmm. But Thursday he can't play. So it's another knock on these Thursday night games. But this is a regular season, meaningful game.
I know.
And
Dallas has lost two in a row. Eagles have two losses.
Exactly, I hear you. They're not fully out of it.
No.
The narrative is, man, what do we do here?
How do we protect this kid?
Yeah, what's our game plan? We're not saying, how do they win this game? We're saying about the Giants. You know, how do we not get more people banged up, particularly our new franchise quarterback and Daniel Jones? I mean, I know people love Thursday Night Football. I actually love it because it's there and you can watch. It's something to watch.
Sure. Something to bet.
But when circumstances like this, and it's unique to right now for the Giants, when this happens, I mean, it's not watchable football.
I'm just going to roll them out, get them out of the pocket, three steps left, three steps right,
to.
Get rid of the
what
football quick, and live to see another week. He's too important to mess around with. All right, coming up next, Tiki's Cavs taking on the U tomorrow night. Maybe a little Friday night special.
Uh-oh.
Do I believe in your boys? I wouldn't go with Miami with Friday night special. That's damn sure.
Whatever the number is.
We'll see. But we will talk to Miami's athletic director, Blake James.
Lots of NCAA things to hit with him as well.
Yep. We'll bounce around a couple of different topics for sure. The Fair Pay for Play Act, obviously, that's in the news. So the Tiki's boys are playing tomorrow night against Miami. D-Cell, I mean, you know, I don't know what to tell you, buddy, but if you have anything you would like us to communicate to the AD of Miami to get the program going, you tell me, and I'll tell him coming up next. All right,
we'll take Gary for that. He's going to say start Nkosi Perry.
And he might say that, and I might say that as well. We'll talk to him coming up after Jay Berman's update, which is right now. Here's Jay. Sunday, it's an NFL on CBS doubleheader, with many of you seeing two of the most dynamic young quarterbacks of the game airing it out when Patty Mahomes and the Chiefs welcome Watson and the Texans, followed by the Cowboys visiting my Jets. It all begins with JB and the guys getting you ready and focused for football in the NFL today at noon, 9 Eastern. Noon Eastern, 9 Pacific on CBS. So we obviously juggle a lot today. The craziness with the baseball last night, Kershaw, that's how we started the show. Jason Lock and Four, some big-time nuggets on possible trades, coaching hot seats. There's a lot happening, and we have a big third hour coming up. Something about the NBA salary cap, which could be adjusted based on what's going on right now with China. That is a mess.
Lots of money.
For everybody.
Lots of money over there.
I hear you. Tiki, you getting ready to take on the Canes, and Tiki's team is really good. Tiki's team is ranked, and the Canes trying to get it together. Obviously, they're a brand that, you know, transcends the sport. A little down right now, as we know, but the mission is to get it back up. And the gentleman really in charge of that mission is Blake James, the director of athletics at the University of Miami, and he's with us here on Tiki and Tierney. Blake, how are you today?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you doing?
We are good.
Well,
yes.
Thank you.
Thanks for hopping on again with us. And I know as you guys get ready to get walloped by the Cavaliers tomorrow, we'll get to that game in a second. But we were talking in the break, Blake, about this new Fair Pay to Play Act that's in California. And New York has instituted some legislation that may get passed. Florida is right on the cusp of doing it as well, likely along the same lines with likeness and things of that nature. You know, ultimately, I know you as an athletic director see this from a major sport position, football, basketball, et cetera. And also, you have to look at it from, say, the Olympic sport. How is this going to affect schools, in your school specifically, if it should happen?
Well, I think it's going to happen. It's in a situation where California has passed the law. And before that law was even passed, the NCAA had coordinated a group to really analyze and provide some recommendations for the association to allow kids to be able to capitalize on their name, image, and likeness. And I know that's where we're going as an association. I think I would say, from all the athletic directors I've talked to, the idea of a timeline there in California being in 2023, hopefully we can get something in place, or I'm confident something in place before that timeline. I think ultimately accomplish all that I think everyone wants. At the same time, really work to close a lot of the loopholes that I think if we move forward with legislation.
I'm not sure.
We may have dropped. Blake, you still with us? May have dropped.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we got. You know what? Let's dial him back up. We want to have a good line for this. We'll get Blake back up here.
Yeah, lots of issues with this, BT,
yeah.
Because and then there's a couple of ways to look at it. Florida, like California, will be based on likeness. New York will be based on equal share. So that's like the total revenues that come in. And that one gets a little bit more dicey and harder to figure out. But I think Blake is back. The question, Blake, that I have for you is he's not back yet.
He's calling back.
He's calling back in a second. Mm-hmm. But the question is, you know, this was Condoleezza Rice's, former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice's commission. We all remember when that was formed. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, some athletic directors, some former players, I think even like parents of some of the...
I think there was representation across the board. I thought it was a pretty good mix.
Everyone
board. Yeah.
was on it. And they recommended this.
Mm-hmm.
Yet when you talk to a lot of like coaches, so we had Bronco on last week,
yeah.
And I can't remember if we asked.
He denounced it. He doesn't like it at all.
But you're hearing that. You hit Gene Smith, who's the AD at Ohio State.
Yeah.
He even said, "We're not even going to play California teams if they pass this law."
Mm-hmm.
Right? It feels very divisive for a proposition that I think most people would say. It's fair, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's an interesting, you know, dilemma that the NCAA is about to wade itself into.
Well, you know, I agree, but I think like from Smith's point of view with the Buckeyes, if I'm him, I don't want to mess with the model. I dominate the Big Ten. I don't want anything to come across my desk that's going to further complicate my world. Because right now I'm coasting on the highway and I'm rolling.
Yeah,
you know, Bronco's got a unique situation, much like he had at BYU. You know, honor codes, no drinking. It's just a totally different environment.
That's right.
In a lot of ways, Virginia's like that too. So, really, depending upon who you ask, you'll get a variety of answers. I don't think everybody's going to be uniformly on board with this.
Yeah. So I think Blake is back now. Blake, sorry we lost you there for a second. But I was asking, look, this was a commission that the NCAA pushed out, and you were talking about the one with Condoleezza Rice, and they recommended this. Yet we're getting pushback. You know, your colleague up in the Big Ten, Gene Smith, the director, the AD at Ohio State, he's against this. You know, Bronco Mendenhall, who we talked to last week, he's against this. Why does it feel like so many coaches and or administrators don't want this to happen?
Well, again, I think Gene, I guess I can't speak for Gene, and I'm not sure exactly what he has said publicly, but I believe he wants to do what's right for the kids under name, image, and likeness. He's chairing the committee that's looking at this, and I don't know, I got cut off before, but I do think that committee is going to come forward with some recommendations that will really put it in place to let the kids legitimately capitalize on their name, image, and likeness. I think what we're, I'll suggest for me personally, what I'm trying to avoid have happen, Kiki, is have it be a situation where it's there's loopholes and there's exploitation really of what the intent is. I think
yeah.
We can all look at something and say, hey, here's the intent, but a lot of people look at it and figure out how do you beat the system, and I think that's what we're trying to do is put measures in place that avoid beating the system, yet at the same time, genuinely allow kids who have the ability to capture, you know, to monetize their name, image, and likeness to be able to do that and still be within the rules.
It's fair, for sure. Talking to Blake James, the AD for the University of Miami. He's been there since 2013 in that role, and the Hoos are getting ready to... What verb
Wah-ha-wah.
Would you like to insert there? The Hoos are getting ready to do what to the Canes? Go ahead.
We'll say play right now. I don't want Blake to hang up on us.
I got you. But Blake, I want to run this by you because it sounds good conceptually, and Teek and I have obviously spoken about this just doing what we do every day. The system is not equitable. Everybody with a fair and open mind knows that. But I think that there's so much murkiness that needs to be ironed out. I don't think it's nearly as simple as people think or project it to be. And I'll give you one example. And I said this to Tiki last week. If I go to USC and say I get, I don't know, $60,000 from the Audi dealership because I'm the four-star, five-star quarterback, but I want to transfer. And I'm going to leave the state of California, and I'm going to go and I'm going to play, I don't know, University of Delaware. Rich Gannon transferred years back. Do I owe Delaware $60,000 or the NCAA? What do I do with that $60,000 to maintain my eligibility? Until that is ironed out, I think there's a lot of questions and not a lot of answers.
I think you touched on it. I think there's a lot of questions, and that's what we really need to work through as an association. Again, as I said before, let's make it so these are legitimate situations where kids are able to capitalize on whether it's innovations that they've come up with, being able to use their likeness. It's genuinely their likeness and not a brand that they're associated with.
Yeah.
I just think there's a lot of loopholes as it's put out there. And again, only speaking for myself, mm-hmm. I want us to be able to monetize for any of our kids and allow them to get more money as long as we're doing it the right way. And it's really them monetizing their image and not, utilizing the image of the institution or wherever it is. It's one where, again, it's very complicated. And I do think, as I said before, I think there's a lot of unintended consequences with the laws written, and we're just going to have to try to work through those.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. Let's move over to some football here real quick. Manny Diaz had an unconventional way of landing the head coaching job, and it worked out, I think, for the best for everyone. He's obviously a great defensive mind, some innovative in a way, if you want to throw in the turnover chain philosophy that has garnered, was it 65 turnovers over the last 3 years, 64 turnovers? And so he's impacted the program in so many different ways. Now as the head coach, though, it feels like there's some growing pains, and mostly it's on the offensive side of the ball. How do you evaluate the job Manny's doing? I mean, again, it was unconventional how he got the job, but where are you seeing the program right now?
Again, I guess probably people will look at this and say I have a bias because I'm the one who gave him the job. But it's a situation where he's growing the program under his leadership and direction and doing things we need to do. Again, when you look at last week, for our offense to score 35 points is something where we should be getting we should be putting something in the win column. And again, we had a defensive letdown last week, and Manny addressed that on Monday, and really is going to be putting himself back more involved with the defense. And so as a head coach, I think he's taking the steps he needs to take to put us in the best position to win. I know you can always say would have, could have, should have, but we've lost to Florida, North Carolina, and Virginia Tech, all with an opportunity to win games at the end, with the ball, an opportunity to win a game at the end. And this is a young team that's got to get to the point of doing that. Again, I get it. Fans don't like to hear you're 2-3, but they're putting themselves in position to win games. Now we just got to get them to that point of executing across the final line, and hopefully do that tomorrow night against UW.
Yeah, is there a frustration? I know that the fan base is awesome down there. The tailgating is ridiculous, and it's not just alum and fans of the program. It's like the community comes to these games. It's actually kind of awesome when you think about it. Has there been like some backlash or frustration being expressed because of the state of the program?
There always is with the Miami program. Our standards are higher than anyone else in the country. So anytime we lose, there's going to be frustration, disappointment. And a lot of times with the fans, they're going to be vocal about that displeasure. And that's a reality of our market. It's one of the great things about our fan base is they are so passionate. I would look at it and say, hey, I think we're making improvements. We have a new head coach that is really putting his thumbprint on this program, and one that I'm confident is going to have us meeting those expectations in the future. But right now, 2-3, yeah, people aren't happy with that. But I think that starts right with the top. I mean, Manny's not happy to be 2-3. I'm not, and I know our guys aren't. And they're going to do everything they can to make it 3-3 tomorrow night.
All right. That's the second time. He's probably sounding pretty confident. Getting ready to take out Virginia. But Blake James from Miami, their AD, with us here on Tiki and Terry.
Hey, Blake, we only have about 30 seconds here. But is the rest of the conference starting to catch up to Clemson? They've been dominant for 3 years. North Carolina almost clipped them. Are they catching up?
I guess I want to say I hope so, because Clemson, what Dabo's done at Clemson is really special. And for him to bring that program from where they were when he took it over to where they are today is a credit to the great coach that he is. And really, it's a bar that we all need to raise ourselves to in the AGC. And so Dabo probably can better answer where the rest of us are compared to, you know, where their program is at right now. But that's something, you know, we're shooting to be at the top of the ACC, which is where Clemson's been. And I think, you know, whether it's your program at Virginia, ours in Miami, anyone else throughout the league, that's what you're shooting for, because you can win the ACC championship, as Clemson's shown. You can win a national championship, and that's what every one of our programs in the ACC is trying to do. And, again, I think we are getting better, and we need to continue to get better as a league.
Yep.
And that's something that we'll all continue to invest in.
All right. Good stuff.
Appreciate you, Blake.
Fun tomorrow night. Thank you, Blake James. AD at Miami. Third hour, the NBA salary cap going down.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.